absolute train wreck that is more profound than the train wreck that occurred in 94-95 when the government was shut down. The train wreck has the following elements. First, you have a Republican Party that has veered to the right and where their members are largely unwilling to do any tax increase. You have,
and where compromise has become a complete off the table.
Well, at least, I mean, that is essential to the DNA of the members who were just elected.
Yeah.
They're not likely to authorize a tax increase. That's element one. Element two is that we are in a situation where the economy is barely recovered from a recession, and so macroeconomic policies would dictate that you don't make significant cuts in the budget at that particular point. That's the second thing. And the third thing is you have a Democratic administration and members of the Democratic Congress who are not capable of finding those cuts. Last year, or last Congress, the House was challenged to find $100 million worth of cuts and never found $100 million, let alone a billion. So the ingredients of gridlock and failure are there. And yet the important issue is that we should be looking at whether all of our expenditures are necessary. And I think that that's a very positive thing to do.
And I know there's a lot of consternation about, and certainly agencies are going to be dealing, having to figure out how to do more with less, and probably for several years. That being said, it seems like there could be some opportunities here.
Well, I think here's the opportunity from a congressional perspective, and I, having served as a staff officer of the Congress, have thought about this. The congressional opportunity is that every single authorizing chairman ought to literally be ordered by the leadership of the House and the Senate to hold hearings and find opportunities to reduce the budget in their area. That has historically been a failure. But if they tell people, you know, you're going to have to meet this mark out of your budget, you go find where it's going to be and tell us where it's going to be, then you'd be actually doing something, I think, very positive. So that could be one part of the process. Second, I think this discussion's already had a significant impact on the conduct of the executive branch. I'm watching travel being canceled and changes being made that are clearly driven within the executive branch. So the process is already affecting services. Now, the real failure will be if agencies come up with a process like closing the Washington Monument, that where you, in essence, make the budget cut so painful for the public, or you deliberately put a stick in the eye of people by going after the program that's actually the most popular rather than the least popular, and in that way trying to defeat the budget cut. So I think there are very significant tactics and strategies that everybody plays in this situation. That said, we got to get our economic house in order.
Yeah, and there are some tough choices to be made, and I can't quite tell whether folks are in a place where they're willing to come together to make those tough choices.
Well, if you leave it up to the individual chairman, they're not going to make tough choices within their own agencies. If you leave it up to a ideological choice, do we not like EPA if we're Republicans and we are worried about those activities, or do we not like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and you make it on ideological grounds? And really, we should make it on practical grounds. Do we need a rural electrification service in 2011? As opposed to what we needed in 1934. Do we really need a new financial accounting software system at DHS when the current one works pretty well? In other words, there are real places that savings can be made in this budget, and people know them, and they're just unwilling to do it.
We heard the president talk yesterday and say, hey, take a little pause on this government shutdown thing because this has real implications, and it does have real implications in terms of Social Security checks getting out and veterans benefits and all those kinds of things. That being said, what's your sense of the likelihood of getting to that brinkmanship point and even talk about furloughs?
I think there's going to be a lot of talk about brinkmanship. I think that the Republican leadership feels that they squandered a significant opportunity in 94, 95 when they shut down the government and were blamed for it. So I think people will be more wary this time of doing that. However, government by
and yet I've heard some folks, some of the Republican Party say, hey, they gave up too early. If we had kept going, it would have been, we would have come through okay.
Well, maybe. I mean,
right. I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying.
I think the politics of that really showed that Clinton beat the Republican Congress at that point.
Yeah.
That said, somebody could be a winner or loser this time, and I think the stakes are much higher for the country than they were in 94, 95. The prestige and power of the United States is not as great as it was then because of, as Fareed Zakaria would say, the rise of the rest. The rest of the world is catching up with us. And so we are not in a position, frankly, to have Argentine-style politics in terms of how we deal with one another. We have real macroeconomic choices. And the sooner the Congress of the United States and the president get down to doing that, the better off we'll be. So my feeling is that the people of America basically want people to get it done. The question is, are the leaders that they've elected capable of doing that together?
And we heard Speaker of the House, John Boehner, say yesterday, if Fed jobs are lost, so be it, which to me, that may be what you eventually, but if you're looking to actually get things done, that seems to, the so be it kind of comment seems to play more into the brinkmanship mode than in the we're going to find a way to reduce the overall size what we can't afford.
Well, reducing the number of federal employees, maybe just squeezing the balloon in a different shape if you have people on as contractors. And we've had a substantial change in the population of who does the work for the government, in a shift from federal employees to contractors that, sometimes is a good thing and sometimes is a terrible thing. And so just saying that we're going to cut the number of federal jobs to me is not an answer. It's a question. I think, by the way, real leaders could find $100 billion in this budget to cut. The question is, will they be the right cuts or will they be merely symbolic and ideological? And we need to get beyond that because when we travel in the world, you find that the United States is becoming regarded as having politics that are more like Argentina's than we would like.
In terms of money, you may not have a choice but to go this direction because we can't do things the way we've always been doing it before.
Well, I think that's the challenge. The fundamental challenge is, how do you game change the operation? One game change is to put everything on a non-growth factor, but then you are not going to make investments. And I think we have to distinguish between making investments and things that are not investing. So, for example, if you spend $600 billion on a transportation bill that builds the infrastructure of the United States, it has profound and good economic impact right now because you can't outsize those jobs to China. The work has to be done here. And in another sense, you're making an investment on the future. So I think we have to distinguish between what is an investment and what is not an investment. And I think those are important concepts that I don't hear people talking about as often as I'd like.
One last question, then I'll let you go. There's a lot of discussion about how agencies can now deal with this sort of in this age. We're almost 6 months into the fiscal year, and they still don't have a direction for 11, let alone 12. This new proposal comes out, which is just a proposal. What should folks be watching for?
Well, I think good secretarial leadership needs to know where they would impose cuts on their organization if they had the right to do so. And I think as we go forward, we have to find a way to make it politically possible to cabin and cut government in those things that it shouldn't be doing, where it shouldn't be competing with the private sector, for example. And I think we can do this. I mean, there's a lot of good things that could come of this process, and I hope you know, we don't lose the good with the bad.
And in the Washington parlance, we talk about inherently governmental. That seems to me the discussion. What does government really need to do? What can we afford to do? And then if we're going to do it, let's get the best people and give them the resources that they need to actually do the job that we want them to do.
Well, let me counter with one thing. You have made really obscene public policy decisions in this town. For example, the new Consumer Financial Agency has been granted a $500 million budget per year from the Fed. Now, how can Congress address deficits without being able to address agencies directly and having their budgets linked improperly to the Fed, where they just print money because that's what we do with the Fed? And so I think there are profound structural problems that people have to affect at the same time as they're looking for cuts.